your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? I am Charlie. I am joined by the good brother, Garrett, the Duke of Derps. And you guys already know, we had Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor tonight. And we were just kind of talking. I think the theme of tonight was some surprising results, right?
I mean, basically, yeah. We'll go through it. But there was a couple of matches where going into it, you were pretty sure, or at least you thought you were pretty sure.
Yeah.
Knew what was going to happen, and sometimes that's not the case in the wrestling business. You know what I mean?
Definitely a couple tonight. I'm like, whoa, that's where we went.
Yeah, quite a few. Now there was so much on the show. I'm just now like processing a lot of it. So for me, it's like, yeah, there's surprising things on there, but. I mean, to be honest with you, like, if there were to be, like, massive – you could have made some headlines coming out of the show, granted, but, I mean, not, like, big headlines, but, like, in the wrestling world, you know what I mean? But, like,
yeah,
if they're wanting to not, like, shake things up too much until they can figure out what this Ring of Honor is, I mean, I guess I can understand that to an extent. But it was interesting. But, I mean, just the story of this show from literally jump to the end was just insanely high-quality wrestling. Like,
yes, very much so.
Because the pre-show was kind of like, we'll talk about it, but like it was kind of like, a lot of the matches were pretty short.
It felt like a mini dark. I'd say it lived up to a name, like a 0 hour pre-show. It wasn't the best 0 hour we've had with the new Ring of Honor, but we had some decent stuff in there. And yeah, so pretty much, yeah, let's, this wasn't the only wrestling to watch this weekend, so. As you guys, we'll be back on Sunday too with some WrestleMania coverage, and tomorrow for our Eat Sleep Elite version. Which, if you guys don't say this is your first show, what we normally do is an Eat Sleep Elite podcast where we just kind of weekly break down all of AEW. We talk about the weekly Ring of Honor show on there as well now. So, yeah, if you guys are interested in sticking around after this, be sure to hit your little follow button on whatever platform you're on because we'd appreciate it. So, I guess. Let's start it off right. Let's go 0 hour. And we open up. Jeff Cobb kind of making his way this week everywhere. We just watched him last night on Multiverse United. He was on AEW Dynamite this week in a fun match against Kenny Omega. And now he's on the Ring of Honor pre-show facing Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. He ended up picking up the victory here. And I don't think nothing too noteworthy of this match. He won with the Tour of the Islands, and yeah, Jeff Cobb's picking up
his win back. You know, he lost to Kenny, so he gives him a win, Ring of Honor, pre-show. It makes sense.
Yeah, works out for me. So, Rick Abani and Coleman then go on to announce that the show will be in honor of the late Jay Briscoe. They throw to a video kind of hyping up Shibata and Yuta. Bobby Cruz welcomes the third commentator for the night. Former ROH World Champion Nigel McGuinness. And you've referenced on here plenty of times when we're talking about pure titles, the matches between Danielson and McGuinness. And I know we both liked him.
I would say if you don't consider it to be Danielson, the greatest pure champion of all time, if it's not Yuta now, is, you know, like, it's definitely Nigel McGuinness. Because so the reason why the pure title was unified with the world title at one point was because of the feud that him and Danielson had. Like, that's how it ended.
That's freaking cool.
So, I mean, you know, it's just like a lot of history there. And you guys have probably heard me on this podcast say numerous times that I'm very like hard to please when it comes to commentary. And Nigel McGuinness, those years in NXT, dude, he was the commentator in NXT. I just remember being like, this guy should be on the main roster. And then
I was a big fan of him. Yeah.
Came together for him like that at the right time. You know what I mean? So It was cool to have him as a commentator. It was like throwbacks in like a million different ways, and also all the history. Yeah, it was cool. It's a cool guy to bring out and have him on commentary.
I thought it really worked for the trio of
the
show.
Do you think we'll have him as a Ring of Honor commentator potentially now?
I really hope so, because like you, loved what he did in NXT. Another, you know, English guy comes in. So, and you know, they didn't want two English commentators, so they kind of bumped him off, sent him to 205 Live, and sent him out. So, yeah, his voice to me, it brought, it's not like a nostalgic feeling, but it just brought like a warmth, and I was like very happy about it. So yeah, great call here, bringing him in. And yeah, so we had Takeshita and Willie Mack, both guys that are getting a lot of work in this weekend. We were just watching Takeshita versus Yuki Uno, and that was a pretty fun match. And I saw Willie Mack kind of getting a little crazy last night at For the Culture. Willie Mack's entrance at For the Culture is so much fun compared to his entrance in Ring of Honor, but that's besides the point. Takeshita, I mean, again, I think the way he sets up the Blue Thunder Bomb is just truly one of the fucking best. I love it's just every time he hits it, and it doesn't matter if it's on a big guy like Willie Mack or someone smaller, it always just feels so powerful. And he ended up winning here with the Shining Wizard, so... Yeah, or he run with the running knee strike. Mack hit a Shining Wizard that really set up a cool spot.
You're a Shining Wizard.
Willow Nightingale picked up another win, beating Miranda Alize. And I think you and I correctly predicted last week, we're like, Miranda's probably going to be on the roster going forward. The fact that they use their 0 hour should probably confirm to us. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right at the contract, TK.
Stu Grayson defeated Slim J. A little surprised by this result, actually, but it made sense after because they are setting up. Vincent and Dutch of the Righteous have returned, and they are now.
Yeah, I think the crowd was very confused by this because it was on the pre-show at the very end, and they were just like, huh?
They're like, ooh, what's going on here? So we'll probably get a little Dark Order versus the Righteous stuff going on Ring of Honor television. And look, okay. I love Uno and Stu as a tag.
Get some dorks on Ring of Honor television.
Exactly. It'll work. So here we go. Main card. Opening match. Triple A Mega title match. El Hijo del Vikingo defeated Commander to retain. I mean, this Ring of Honor has, in their more recent years especially, they've had a lot of pride in the Lucha Libre that they brought to Ring of Honor. Whether it was Bandido Rush doing the world title feud, and you name it, so many luchadors that they've brought in, and Lucha Libre making its way to the new Ring of Honor with Tony Khan. It's just, I love this. And the fact that the AAA Mega title is defended on a show where Tanahashi and Shibata are on, I mean, that's pretty fucking cool too, because we covered pretty extensively last Forbidden Door why, you know, the feuds happening in Mexico were affecting that card. So, but it's nice to see that it made its way all through here. And the entire card went as planned. And I got to tell you, this match was, I don't even know where to start.
Again, we've had like four or five in the AEW Ring of Honor circle. We've had like four or five match of the year candidates already. And we're not even we're just about to be at April.
Like, this tomorrow. This was so much fun. They hit their shit. The table spot. I am the table. It didn't want to break.
Yeah, true.
I gotta tell you though, Commander, man, this guy is seriously so fucking good too. And the way that they embraced each other after the match, I kind of felt like that was a real personal touch. Like, these guys are proud of what they just did. They're proud that they got the dude on this stage. And I saw a lot of Lucha fans like very excited that they've been following these guys in AAA and in Mexico for years, and to finally see it on this big stage and everyone chanting for it, it's getting so long. This is a good length match. Everyone got their shit in. It was so much fun. Vikingo ended up hitting a meteor in the corner before crushing Commander with a 630 to win this match. Any other thoughts you had on this one? And just, we're on a Vikingo roll right now.
Yeah, we've literally watched everything he's done so far this weekend. Like, the guy is just incredible. I mean, like, and so, I mean, Commander was able to keep up in like every way, which is insane, and reflects on him pretty well. Makes you really want hope that he could sign to AEW at some point now in the future, even more.
Yeah, right.
And Because I don't think there's a shot that AAA doesn't somehow find a way to pay this guy, this other guy, like a lot of money to keep him forever, because they could and they probably should, you know. But like, not because I don't want him, but because like he just is that good. You know what I mean? Like,
if we could lock him down forever,
I would too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And he's not even done for the night because he still has to wrestle Mike Bailey tonight as we're recording this.
It's insane.
His night's not even over.
He went out, had that fucking insane match to open up Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, and now he's going to go wrestle Mike Bailey. I mean,
and then we'll get into it a little bit tomorrow, but he had a match with Blake Christian on Ring of Honor television that was so much fun. I mean, fucking El Hijo del Vikingo is fucking making his waves again, this time on another level. So it's really cool. First big surprise of the night to me. All right, second, because I'm going to say Nigel was a surprise. I did not see that coming at all.
That's true, actually. Fair.
ROH World Six-Man Tag Team Title Match. The Embassy defeat AR Fox, Blake Christian, and Metalik. I even kind of jokingly said to you before the match started, I'm like, here we go, watching Brian Cage's last match in Ring of Honor.
Literally.
Not the case. He's still a fucking champion. What'd you think of the match, and what'd you think of the result? Because I did not see this coming.
You know, Ring of Honor six man tags are usually pretty solid, and this one didn't really fall short or anything like that. It was fine. It was just a standard six man tag match, basically. But like, I mean, maybe a little bit above average because it's on pay per view. But I mean, like, I don't know. It didn't really do it for me. But the shocking result of the Embassy retaining here. I guess it's not that shocking. I guess it's just surprising that
people have been covering this match on the pay-per-view
just to have them like win quickly. I just felt weird. Like it didn't quite mesh with the rest of it, but like, I guess what were you going to have? I mean, the weird thing is we didn't have, unless he was always planning to have the AAA title somehow on the show, which I wouldn't put it past Tony, but I mean, at the same time, like, if he didn't know that was going to be the match he was going to have, I mean, there could have been something else that would have also delivered super crazily that maybe you would have had to have something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand the logic of having this match if you want to put it in between something insane and something else. You know what I mean?
But yeah.
Like, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely shocked about Brian Cage still being a champion, though. Like, what is happening?
And not only that, Cage fucking hit the drill call on Metalik and won the match. So, I guess... he's sticking around for a little bit. Maybe he drops it at the taping, and this was just kind of a swerve. But, I mean, look, nothing against Cage. I like the idea of the Embassy, especially Khan. I'm a really big Khan fan. So, yeah, we'll see how this goes and see where it plays out. Kind of the only bit of news we had from tonight kind of started making its waves before our next match. And because Fightful Select had reported that some big names were backstage at ROH, and he said he confirmed that Trinity Fatu is backstage at Supercard of Honor. And she apparently took in the Athena versus Yuka match up close. She's officially done for WWE. She was in town, as we know, for WrestleCon and Wally Mania. So, but that was not the only name.
It's kind of crazy that she said she's never going back to WWE.
Yeah, we'll have to see what's up with that. And they have also learned that Miro was backstage at the show. So,
I mean, that's what people are saying, though. That's the report, is that she's not planning on going back, and she doesn't want to, which is kind of crazy.
Couldn't, yeah. I mean, I guess some roads just getting really bitterly, right? So,
I guess.
But what about Miro backstage? I mean, hopefully that's a sign that we see Miro return soon, because he needs to figure this shit out. We need to get him back, especially if he's healthy and ready to go. So, yeah, that being said, on to our next match here. We had the ROH Women's World title match. Athena defeated Yuka Sakazaki. Again, Yuka has the greatest theme in all of professional wrestling.
Yep.
I don't think this is a debate. I, in fact, cranked my speakers and perhaps blew an eardrum. I was listening to it so loud. No, but seriously.
I cranked my eardrums and blew a speaker.
Hey, okay. I thought this was a really fun match. This had the hyper intensity that I thought, you know, we've been getting from Athena matches. She's one of the most compelling wrestlers in all of America, all of professional wrestling right now. And the viciousness of her defenses, man, it's just so good. But yeah, pretty much right away, the doll entrance, Athena just smashed a doll and kicked it off the stage. Basically, they end up getting going. Yuka hits a really cool head scissors, sends Athena to the floor. She hits a step-up cannonball to the floor. Athena tries bailing out through the crowd. Sakazaki catches her, sends her back into the ring. Sidestep missile dropkick from Athena, and then she hits her with a black hole slam. She then catches her leg in the corner, drove her down by the mat of the neck. Sakazaki hit a jawbreaker and followed that with a sliding lariat. I love when she hits that sliding lariat, for the near fall. Sakazaki hit an upkick into the corner. Athena caught her in a head scissors attempt. Athena hit a trio of power bombs for a near fall. She hit the double knee face buster for a near fall. The crowd's going nuts for Sakazaki at this point. She rolled up to the apron where Athena drop kicked her ass to the floor. And at this point, I'm like, damn, they're really going. They're pulling no punches. They're letting it all out, and I'm loving it. She hit a wheelbarrow suplex to Sakazaki on the floor. She tried to follow with a drop kick into the barricade. Sakazaki moved. Yuka then hit a big slam on the floor before sending Athena into the ring steps. She got on the stage, took a long run before hitting Athena with a running Thez press. Back in the ring, she hit a splash from the top rope for a near fall. She then just starts lining up those vicious forearms, setting up her finish. Athena cracks her with a fucking forearm of her own. Yuka grabs the ropes to break the pin. Athena went for the O-face, but Yuka met her on the top and hit a superplex. She then hit a spinning facebuster finish, and then Athena kicked out. Sakazaki went for a top rope splash again. Athena sent the referee into the ropes, took her down with an elevated O-face for the win. I gotta tell you, I really enjoyed this match. I've been enjoying kind of the build we've had where she called her out, like saying, you're hiding from me in Japan. I see your wrestling matches over there. Like, come face me, bro.
I see you doing the wrestling. Why aren't you doing that here? That's what she said.
Right? So, yeah. What'd you think of this one? And I guess the Athena reign of terror continues.
Yeah, as Caprice Coleman put it during the match, Athena is the innovator of violence. I love that Athena in the lore right now, Athena is literally just like a killer that just is like, it's just completely like ruthlessly just going through the entire roster, both shows.
Beats the hell and lays waste to everyone in sight.
Literally just like a demon spawned from the pain of all the loss that she sustained in her early AEW career. It's just like, you know, like, anyway. So I loved how they just like, so I was kind of surprised. Is the Magical Girl Splash like a signature and not the finishing move that she usually hits? Or is that usually what she finishes it with? Because I'm surprised that Athena kicked out of that. Not many people have.
Yeah, I
think
we've seen her finish people with it before.
Maybe I just don't know. But I did like the setup for the sort of off the ropes, eclipse. Or sorry, the O-face. I still don't like that name. Whatever, you know. But, you know, like, I mean, it's better than Eclipse, actually, I'll be honest, but, you know, but yeah, I mean, they did a lot of a good job, I should say, not necessarily a lot of, but just a good job of explaining why Yuka is so important to Tokyo Joshi Pro and like why she's been like, you know, I guess so focused over there because of how like important that is. Like a lot of people, I think, sleep on Tokyo Joshi Pro, honestly, like because they do a lot of really great stuff over there. So I like commentary, like showing the respect they understand what's going on with that it's not just like, oh, who is this random wrestler that they put Athena against, you know? It's like it's actually like genuinely like seems like the commentators are invested in like what's going on with these two, you know?
Absolutely. And we like very kind of quickly and just one time they announced she's facing Yamashita this Thursday on Ring of Honor. So that's going to be another one. We had Emmy that we'll talk about tomorrow. Tonight we had Yuka, and then next Thursday we're going to get Yamashita. So that's going to be fun.
Literally. I mean, it's like, okay, Athena, just calm down. It's okay. You don't have to beat you don't have to have all the matches. Just calm down.
Kind of a cool quote right now from the media scrum just popped up on my, I got a notification for it. Shibata said, by winning the ROH Pure Championship, he is one step closer to wrestling Bryan Danielson.
Bro, that's been on my dream match list for like the last. I think I just Shibata versus Cassidy, pretty much. You know,
Yeah, right. So I guess if any other crazy notifications pop up, we'll fucking keep chiming in. We'll get some live input right now. ROH. I'm going to go to our second most surprising result of the night. ROH World Television Title Match. Samoa Joe defeated Mark Briscoe to retain. This was
He did not reach for the Sky Boy.
He did not. This was a hard-hitting slobber knocker of a match. And I got to tell you, Samoa Joe, the way this match went, I thought he looked like a fucking powerhouse winning. And let me tell you right now, I'm starting to think that maybe the vision for Mark Briscoe isn't just winning the television title.
Is it winning the world title?
Maybe it's winning the world championship. Maybe that's where this is going. And because I'm telling you, that's a story I could buy into, especially if we're going heel son of a bitch Claudio, which we'll get into in a little bit. But yeah, what'd you think of this match?
Yeah, and
I think the result here,
Claudio,
because I don't think either of us saw this result coming. So
yeah, I definitely didn't see the result coming. It's kind of crazy because you'd think they would, but like, I also understand why Tony Khan would think world title. But I also understand if Tony Khan's not thinking either of those things and he's thinking just something else entirely. I mean, I could see them taking some time to build up Mark Briscoe as like a serious, legit singles world title contender over the course of the next like 6 months, you know, or maybe not 6 months. It might be too long, but you know what I'm saying? Like over the next cycle till the next pay-per-view, because it'll be a while anyway for Ring of Honor, right? So it'll be even longer than AEW probably. So, you know, like, it's like at the same time, I really would like to see Mark Briscoe pick up the win here, especially with this also being sort of a pay-per-view tribute show for Jay in a lot of ways because of the Reach of the Sky ladder match.
Yep.
And him relinquishing the title, but I mean, or the, I guess the titles, I should say. I mean, you know, did this championship get a new look as well, or did it stay the same?
Yes, this one got a. Oh no, this one stayed the same. Sorry, my brain.
Okay,
was
and
like,
we also
my,
didn't. We should acknowledge that they did pretty much. Okay, so all the ones. I mean, this one looked good anyway, so that's fine. But a bunch of new championships tonight that we'll talk to as we get to them, I guess. Like,
yeah,
which is also really cool, you know.
Yeah, the women's did get an update, so that one was looking nice, and then the pure and the world and tag, which we'll jump into here in a second. But yeah, I like that result. I thought this was pretty surprising, and I mean, Joe went for that muscle buster. Briscoe fought out, hit a boot that sent him to the mat. I thought he went for the froggy bow. He got a close near fall, and I'm like, okay, here we go. He's going to set up the J-driller. It does that. Joe powers out again. I'm like, okay, here we go. He countered the cutthroat driver, locked in the coquina clutch, sent Briscoe up and over with a sleeper suplex before locking in the clutch again, and Briscoe passed out. I mean, I got to tell you, that was beautiful. But
yeah,
I was very shocked, but it was beautiful. Okay. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Daniel Garcia.
The Rizzler.
The Rizzler. And he got a little Riz action in this match, I got to tell you. But
that's in my notes for sure.
Last night we watched Tanahashi wrestle Mike Bailey on Multiverse United. And that was such a fun match.
What we're trying to tell y'all is that we've been dropping through the the incursion has hit us in the face. And now America Chavez is taking us portal by portal through the dimensions.
I think tomorrow we'll spend some time talking about some stuff we love from these shows. But while we're going through it, Tanahashi and Mike Bailey was fun. I mean, honestly, that match was a lot of fun. And I think Daniel Garcia and Tanahashi was a lot of fun, too. They let Daniel Garcia do his thing, and they let him sell like $1 million for Tanahashi. I thought the You're a Wrestler chants were very, very fitting for him being on Ring of Honor. He's embracing this character, but everyone also knows how great he is, right? So, yeah, pretty much here. I had something I wanted to mention about this match, but I completely blanked. So, what did you think of this match? And I guess the result here of Tanahashi getting the win over Daniel Garcia with the high fly flow.
Yeah, not surprised that Tanahashi won here. Obviously, Daniel Garcia is not at that level yet, but he will be one day. But I'm just, it's crazy to me, Charlie, that like, this is what I wrote in my, I'll just read verbatim what I wrote in my notes. I just can't believe this match even was, while it was this, by my reaction while I was watching it, I can't believe this match is even happening. It's insane to me that he can face stars of this caliber at this point, that he's at that level because of his association with, you know, guys like Bryan Danielson and Daniel Garcia. Sorry, association with himself. Bryan Danielson and now he can wrestle guys like Tanahashi because of being associated with Jericho and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it's like, because he's one of our guys, you know what I mean? But it's kind of wild when one of our guys has a match with, like, arguably one of the greatest Japanese wrestling stars of the last 20 years, if not longer. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, with three of our pillars wrestling tonight. And if this is your first show with, of Eat Sleep Elite, we established, and I believe in like our third show, I'm going to eventually one day go back and get the exact date. Because AEW is talking about how they had all their pillars, and we're like, well, fuck it. We got to create our own pillars, the foundation of the future. And it was Daniel Garcia, Wheeler Yuta, Dante Martin, Ricky Starks. And we'll get into Dante Martin in a second, but hoping, you know, I meant to say this at the beginning of the show. My God, we're hoping the best for this guy, because what happened out there did not look good. And we know we got stretchered off. So as of right now, maybe you guys will listen to this tomorrow and all the information's out there. But as of right now, we don't know what happened. And all we know is it didn't look good. And some people, like I believe that something you were saying, you saw from Meltzer, he was talking like Joe Theismann bad. Like, this is some people are very, very worried about what happened to him. But yeah, Tanahashi picking up a win on Ring of Honor. Are you kidding me? Ladder match time. Lucha Brothers are the new ROH Tag Team Champions. They were the first announced. And, you know, I think all the shit they did in this match, I think they fucking earned it during this match. If we're just keeping it, putting it in a vacuum and talking about through the match. But, yeah. Any certain things from this match kind of stick out to you? And any pairings you thought you really liked? I really liked the Roosh and Mike Bennett thing they did, yeah, where they good. Kind of addressed that those guys had a program in the past, and they said, you know what? This ladder is very important. These titles are important, but I still fucking hate you.
But I hate you, you son of a bitch.
So yeah. We're going to get off this ladder at the same time, and I'm going to start beating the hell out of you.
God. I like Aussie Open versus any of these teams. Please versus Lucha Bros next. Can that be the title match? Can that be the next title match, please?
Yeah, we got babyface champions.
Please. So
we made some switches tonight to get some babyface champions, because we were all heel going into this pay-per-view.
I'm sure Aussie Open versus Top Flight, The Kingdom, or Jalisco and Rouge would also be awesome. I like Aussie Open versus everybody. Lucha Bros versus Kingdom could have some gas to it, because, you know, they could probably cut some good promos. And also, you know, they're also obviously already Ring of Honor. So, you know, I mean, yeah, you couldn't go wrong using any of these groups together. I really want to see LFI doing something after this, though. So I don't know. Maybe them.
Agreed. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And God, yeah. I mean, this, I think what I wrote here was nonstop action.
I wrote the same thing. What the hell?
There was just, it was literally nonstop. Whether it was Jalisco hitting some crazy shit on Dante Martin, or Aussie Open were kind of the ring generals of this match. They were the ones kind of setting.
Yeah, I put that in my notes. Off rip, they went insane. They just started beating everyone to shit. They were like,
yeah. And Matt Taven, I love, because you know what? Not many commentators would do this, but Ian Riccaboni always lets everyone know that Matt Taven is a very, very decorated champion wrestler in Ring of Honor. He is a big deal in this company. Do not forget this. And I thought,
oh, yeah, I like that Ring of Honor. Anyone, that even if he was just like a one-off champion in a time when there wasn't a lot of guys, like he probably was, you know what I mean? Which I'm not saying that he didn't earn his championship. I'm saying I'm guessing if Matt Taven was world champion, there was a lack of guys. You know what I mean?
Like I had no idea Roosh and Mike Bennett had that program together. I had
it
no
makes
idea.
Sense. There was a time when Ring of Honor was really strapped for talent at multiple times. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and the fact that they did that, I thought Jalisco, who's had, you know, in some matches, he's had some crazy spots that didn't go the way he wanted. I think everything went the way he wanted here. And like,
we forget that the Kingdom were considered super legit in Ring of Honor sometimes. Like,
oh, absolutely. I even messaged you before this. I'm kind of getting vibes. I thought they were winning.
They could have won. That would have made a lot of sense.
Going into the match, if I absolutely had to pick, I was picking the Kingdom. and it didn't work out that way, but we have babyface champions. And you know, unfortunately, I don't think their feud with Top Flight's continuing right now. And let's hope that Darius doesn't get sidelined. I mean, let's get into that now. I mean, basically the end of the match here, I'm going to kind of cover the last little section here and we'll go from there. So Jalisco sends Fletcher off the apron into the announce table with Arana. I thought that was a cool little spot as all the shit fell on him and we lost commentary for a second.
Yeah, literally. I don't know if that was like if they just purposefully cut it off or if it actually went out, but either way, that was good. You know what I mean?
The Kingdom then double teamed Jalisco with Matt Taven sending him through a ladder with a splash. Roosh sent Davis into a ladder with a German suplex off the apron. Jose and Alex Abrahantes get into some fisticuffs. Dante Martin tries fighting off both Lucha Brothers, but Penta eventually sends Dante off the ladder bridge through four tables with a Canadian destroyer. Jesus.
Yeah, it seemed like, I mean, I don't want to speculate, but it seemed like it basically broke the dude's ankle, you know?
Yeah, it seemed like something went bad. And Dante was, we know now immediately, like, they stopped showing the cameras over there and he got stretchered off. The Kingdom tried fighting off Phoenix, but Phoenix fought them off and grabbed the titles to win. So the Kingdom were the last ones in line there. So again, we could see that program happen. After the match, Mark Briscoe and FTR raised the arms of the Lucha Brothers. It made me really happy seeing FTR there. We're going to find out Wednesday what's happening with them.
So, true.
But
they leave their AEW contracts just to sign with Ring of Honor. I'd be mad.
But my God, Dante Martin with that absolutely ridiculous, crazy spot. It didn't go as planned. And sometimes that happens. And
all right, I was just looking to see if anybody had like an official word on what the injury was, and this is the post that I see, Charlie. I'm not going to say who posted it, but this is literally what Twitter post says: "Beyond tragic, a needless spot that has resulted in a gruesome injury."
I mean, it was a big spot that fucking got someone hurt, and you never want to
see
it
happen. And in all likelihood, cut short the promising wrestling career of Dante Martin. What are you talking about? What?
Well, let's not start assuming the guy's done, but, you know, again, the human body works in mysterious ways. He might be completely fine, or he might be completely fucked. We don't know. Again, we're hoping the best for him because we love Dante Martin. Dante Martin had the most wrestling matches in AEW last year. He's had a lot of matches this year. So he clearly gets a lot of work in and just hoping the best for him. Okay. ROH pure title match. Katsuyori Shibata defeats Wheeler Yuta, who came out there with Jon Moxley, to win the championship. Is it safe to say the story of this is Wheeler Yuta got way in over his head? He wanted to call out the legend because he was beating all his trainees and beating all his dojo men. And he ended up realizing, oh shit, maybe I'm not a legend killer just yet. He'd been toying around with his opponents, showing proficiency in the pure style. He got this big head, made a challenge to a man better than him, and found out he made a massive fucking mistake. I thought this was a really cool, like, chapter in the story of what Wheeler Yuta and the Pure Championship is going to be, because I don't think he's done with the Pure title yet. I think we're going to be continuing this now with Yuta and Shibata. I think at the end result might be he eventually overcomes the legend. We'll see. But holy shit, Shibata's in the ring. He's holding a Ring of Honor championship. Fucking ROH Tony Khan. Just, you know, he just made the next chess move to AEW Tony Khan, right?
Tony Khan's like, I can't get competition from the WWE. Fine, I'll do it myself.
But what did you think of this? I mean, Nigel McGuinness with so many cool calls during this that it just made me so happy that we have him here to call this. And yeah, after we get your thoughts, we'll run through Wheeler Yuta's second Ring of Honor Pure Championship reign.
Which has also been as insane as the first one. So the mat wrestling transitions were super smooth. Love that stuff. You know, you guys know me. I described Shibata's strikes as heavy metal. I think that's accurate.
That's a nice touch. Yes.
Wheeler did end up using a low blow at one point, which got Nephew Yuta chant, and then that unleashed the chops of destruction from Shibata. So, you know, after that was pretty much aces.
Yes. But yeah, that was the fuck you unit chant was pretty good. I gotta say there. Okay. His Ring of Honor pure championship run here. This was his second run. It was not as long as his first. This was a 112-day run, but he had four successful defenses. Again, he won it at Final Battle, loses it at Supercard of Honor. So he had a nice little run here. He wins it off of Daniel Garcia. And then at the Jay Briscoe Tribute and Celebration of Life show, he defeated Hagane Shino, who had a nice little run there for a second. He was the guy that broke Kenny Omega's first singles match since his return. We then jump to Ring of Honor, Honor Club. He beats Timothy Thatcher, which we both really liked. Clark Connors, again, calling out them dojo guys. Leon Ruffin, which was very short, and that kind of set up a thing of, you know, I am this fucking good, which we'll jump into that tomorrow. And then he loses it. So four successful title defenses, which is the most since Josh Woods had the title. So that's pretty cool. And what'd you think overall of the title run, and any of the matches stick out to you that you're like, yeah, that's the one I'm remembering from this run for sure? Or are we just going to remember the Shibata match?
I mean, I think the Shibata match is definitely going to be up there. I think it's less so the matches and the sort of like level that Wheeler wrestles at that I'm more impressed with this title run, because I think he genuinely did something that I don't think anyone has really been able to do since Nigel McGuinness and Bryan Danielson, which is elevate that title and mean something more than just a like weird side title with weird rules. You know, like I think it matters now. And I think the fact that a guy like Shibata even wants anything to do with it says that it does, you know?
And now he's holding it. Like, this is so cool, man. This is so cool. God, Ring of Honor is so fucking cool right now. Like, I don't think Ring of Honor is... I think it's in a really healthy spot, and...
Ring of Con!
And we got a cool world champion, which we're about to jump into. I am just as you guys can tell, I mean, I'm just very, very happy with how this show turned out. Even if maybe some of the results didn't go the way I wanted them to, you know? That's what's so fun about wrestling. Sometimes you don't get, you know, the exact fantasy booking that you do in your head, but you still end up liking the show and what came away with anyway. So pretty much then they start going down the card for Dynamite next week.
If we fantasy booked the way I do in my head, Orange Cassidy would be world champion right now.
Exactly. And I might have him face fucking Yamashita for it.
Hell yeah.
We got Sammy Guevara versus Commander announced, Hook versus Ethan Page, and they announced that Ring of Honor world title would be on the line, Miyu Yamashita against Athena. Fuck yeah. So again, just before we leave this pure title and go on to the world, we were kind of talking last week, like, hey, if he puts this title on Shibata, it's not the craziest thing, because all he has to do is fly to Orlando maybe once, twice a month to, you know, go there and work. And then that's it. And Shibata can make that schedule work. And son of a bitch, if we get Shibata versus Danielson out of all of this, count me the fuck in.
Absolutely.
Main event time. Claudio Castagnoli defeats Eddie Kingston to retain the ROH World Championship.
That's got to be like an ASMR sound of this pod at this point. Me rubbing the hands together when it's a fucking banger. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. This was a fucking story, right? Like, you felt every single punch in this match. And just the fucking opening tackle. Like, I was like, Eddie just gets it. Like, if you hate the guy, if you're a wrestler like Eddie Kingston and you hate that son of a bitch you're in the ring with, as soon as that bell rings, you're jumping down his throat. Like, that's what you're doing. But I got to hear your thoughts on this, because we haven't even talked about this match yet. What did you think of this? And Claudio retains. What the hell? Whoa.
So much history here.
He's so much.
A feud that has been left without an ending since like 2011 or something like that. Like, I have to check the date on that, but like 2014 at the latest, I'm guessing. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
So we're talking like almost 10 fucking years ago that this shit took place, you know, if not more. And it was not left in a place that was a good end. I mean, it was an ending, but it wasn't like a good ending, because they obviously had more that they could do. And they had to let a lot of that aggression out in this match because I'm sure they'd been thinking about it. I mean, there were probably times when Claudio was locked up under contract at WWE and Eddie was still, you know, killing it on the indies. And he was probably just wondering, like, I wonder if I'd have gone down that path where I'd be now, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so fitting for on this insane card that Tony Khan managed to like put together, which I can't believe we just watched. I was in shock from the announcements that were going to be on the card. I'm in shock from watching it. We're reviewing it right now. None of this seems real, Charlie. Like, what portal did we fall through that we got this as the Super Card of Honor, and we have Double or Nothing in like 8 weeks or something like that or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I am so glad of what this has become.
And I'm get WrestleMania you. Like. 2 days from now, like, well, I guess tomorrow as well. I mean, my brain is completely broken at this point. Take the reins for a second, because my brain is literally breaking.
This was his first like full year of having Ring of Honor. Right, was this pay per view? Tony Khan booked the last Supercard, right, and that was the final event under the Sinclair Group, like. That was the 3 month hiatus. It was entering a new era. And there we had a lot of title changes. You know, FTR won the titles. We had Mercedes win the interim title. Suzuki won a title. Yuta won a title. And then Jonathan Gresham won the undisputed Ring of Honor world title. And it's just like, flash forward a year later, he's had his hands on it. He's only had Honor Club for 5 weeks. I can't wait to see what he comes up with a year from now with all these stars he's developed. I mean, you can go back to when Wheeler Yuta beat Josh Woods. Wheeler Yuta was starting his reign here, man. And now, like, this is, I'm just so happy of the current state of Ring of Honor and what we're getting from here. And I think you covered it all. I mean, whether it was Claudio kind of, he was almost like chicken shit for like a second. And then he like snapped himself out of it. Like, no, what am I doing? Fuck Eddie. Let's go, Eddie. Fuck you, Eddie Chance. I thought we're pretty good. I didn't see that coming. But yeah, I mean, pretty much Claudio hits the neutralizer. Kingston kicks out at one. Claudio then rebounded with a massive uppercut. Kingston kicked out again. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. We're building up to it. He lays in the heavy uppercuts. Went for the Ricola bomb. Kingston rolled through into a pin, and then Claudio rolled into a pin of his own, stole the win, retained the title. I mean, I sincerely hope this is not the last we see of these two in the wrestling ring together, right? This story is not done. There's just no way this story is done. So, but after the match, Wheeler came to the ring to help Claudio up. They cornered Kingston. Shibata made his way to the ring to even the odds. They had a tense stare down, and Claudio and Yuta left the ring. Kingston grabbed the mic, said, fuck shit, motherfucker, said, we got a minute, said he isn't going anywhere, and then he'd still be coming for Claudio in that title. Wow. I am feeling very, very happy following this show. And I know you are. And I guess now we look forward to the next set of tapings, right?
I mean, basically, yeah, because we're going to have a lot of these people that, you know, I mean, there's going to be so much fallout. I'm excited to see who Athena's going to face next, because to be frank with you, I liked her match with Yuka, but I really wish we could have gotten somebody actually having a feud with her on Ring of Honor television, you know, ultimately, you know what I mean? Like, but I mean, that's just my opinion. Like, I wish Yuka could have been available, you know what I mean? Like, but she just wasn't for whatever reason, you know, like.
Yeah, we just didn't get the television feud we were hoping for. Yeah, I agree with that.
Which we can lean into a little bit more. But other than that, I mean, pretty much everything up in the build to this was pretty insane. And then, like, the last-minute matches were just insane. And, like you said, I'm just really excited for those next tapings.
Yeah, so I think that'll do it for us. And, yeah, be sure to check out Eat Sleep Elite. That'll be coming up probably tomorrow afternoon in your feeds. Or nighttime, depending on where you live. And yeah, thanks again for hanging out. If this is your first time checking us out, we got a Twitter, Eat Sleep Elite. simple enough. If you pop on there, you like the show, give a follow. We always follow everyone back. We're trying to build a wrestling community there. And we got our own Twitters. You can follow Garrett at Bane Duke. You can follow me at OCharlie with an X instead of an A if you're interested. And thank you very much for hanging out with us. And hope you guys enjoyed the show as much as we did. So take care, everyone.